When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to episode 3 of Excuse Me, May I Have Some More? I am Brad Kramer, and I am joined by my co-host, Christine Struble. Did you think we'd make it through 3 episodes?
No, I thought they might cancel us after episode 1. You know, I had the bottle of champagne waiting to kind of say fond farewell to us, but apparently we still have some good life left in us.
Well, frankly, you have the bottle of champagne waiting for a day that ends in Y. So earlier this week, Pizza Hut unveiled a new product. I guess it's going to be limited time only, their Detroit pizza, which was of particular interest to me because I spent part of my childhood in Detroit eating Detroit style pizza from the king of Detroit style pizza, is a restaurant chain there called Buddy's. And I have watched as that style of pizza has grown in popularity, whether you've got like Lions, Tigers, and Squares, which is has brought Detroit pizza to New York City, and other places that have jumped on that bandwagon. And now obviously Pizza Hut on a national level. And I went and ordered it last night on its first night of availability. So have you had a chance yet?
I have had a chance to try it out. And you know, one of the things that Pizza Hut tries to do when they launch a new pizza is not only bring a pizza trend to a larger audience, but try to do it in their way. You know, granted, there are going to be specialty Detroit style mom and pop pizzas, or you know, very niche pizza groups that do it differently. But Pizza Hut looks to bring a particular style or a particular trend to a larger audience since they are a national chain. Now, people can debate whether or not it's a perfect replica of a true Detroit style pizza. But if you look at what it is, I think many people are going to find it quite enjoyable, find it a different pizza experience. And, you know, a lot of thought was put into that particular offering that's going to be available for a limited amount of time. I mean, if you look at the pizza itself, it does have some nods to a classic Detroit style pizza, you know, the rectangle shape, which goes back to how the Detroit pizza is a nod to the automotive industry in Detroit because it was made in special pans, and that affords it that cheesy crust that kind of goes all the way up to the edge and makes it kind of crunchy and has that different texture. And also, you know, they look at putting the sauce on top, which is a classic part to this style of pizza as well. When I tasted it, a couple things stood out to me. One, it was the sauce that they used. It's not the traditional Pizza Hut sauce. It has a little bit of a fresher tomato taste. It has a little, almost a little sweeter taste. But I think one of the bigger parts of it, while Pizza Hut has four different varieties for their Detroit style pizza, the double pepperoni one with the pepperoni cups,
yes,
that they're using only on the Detroit style pizza is kind of what sets it apart a little bit. The pepperoni cups have a different flavor to them. Maybe it's a touch spicier, maybe it's the texture issue, or whichever, however you want to put it, I think that makes it different than some of their other offerings. I mean, I don't think there's too many other pizzas out there that have over 80 slices of pepperoni on a pizza. So if you like pepperoni, I think that pizza is definitely worth trying. It's something different. I don't know if someone could sit down and eat an entire Detroit, that particular Detroit style pizza on its own, because it's, you know, a thicker crust. And
I made it halfway through.
You made it? Seriously?
Yeah, see, it's not a giant pizza.
But in my opinion, because it's a little thicker.
Right, but it's not like going to your neighborhood pizzeria and ordering a Sicilian that they only have in one size and it's massive and it takes 14 people and half a football team to finish. This was, I was actually surprised that it wasn't as large, and I had no problem knocking out half of it.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
So later in this episode, I talked to Jeff Morrow again, part two of my interview with Jeff. And Jeff is from Chicago, lives in Chicago. So, of course, in an attempt to stir up trouble.
Brad, stirring up the pot here. I love that.
I asked him to talk about Chicago-style pizza, of which there are two compared to New York. We discussed Detroit pizza as well. But it's interesting because Chicago is known not just for their deep dish, but also for their thin cut into squares. And I happen to be a huge fan of Chicago deep dish pizza. If you get it, again, from the right place, whether it's Giordano's the minute I hit the ground in Orlando to head to Universal, or Lou Malnati's is another name. I think Jeff may even mention both of those.
Oh, wait, but you're missing Pequod's. Pequod's, yes. Has to be like, yes. But see, I'm surprised you don't like that one because they have the cheesy crust to see, the
and
edges.
I have not had Pequod's.
Yeah.
So I've had Giordano's, and of course, Uno's been around forever, and some of the others. And then I also, in my case, it's not an either or. I love the Chicago thin crust that's cut into a square. And I have a couple places in the Atlanta area where I live that does both and does both very well. So I can fulfill those cravings pretty much anytime I want. But I was curious, and you've lived in a variety of places as well, what your feelings are, and we'll hear what Jeff's are when we play that. But what are your feelings about Chicago style pizza A and B, and then versus what you've had elsewhere, New York, Detroit, whatever?
Well, I will say, having lived in the Chicago area for a period of time, one of my go-tos would be Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza. They're butter crust with the slab of sausage,
yep,
across. That would be the one that if I want the really big indulgent meal and I can only eat like a tiny slice of it because it's that crust, I think most of it is the butter crust on it that just makes it so craveable. And luckily that one, through Taste of Chicago, you can get delivered. They'll send it to you frozen across the country. So if you can't go to one of their locations in Chicago, you can get it delivered. I'm also a huge fan of Pequod's, but that some people say that's like the foodie place to go. But
what about Geno's East?
I don't know. They're okay. I never really, you know, it was one of those things. If I was in the city, I kind of went to Pequod's over Geno's East. That's just a personal preference. Nothing bad about them. I'm not going to turn it away, but closer to my house, it was always Lou's, and in the city, it was always Pequod's. And then we would have local pizza places that would do that really thin, crispy, crunchy, cut into squares pizza. I can remember like Nick and Vito's is a Chicago staple. But that was just like the typical Friday night pizza night that you get with your kids and they're hungry and you can get a pizza the size of your kitchen table. That was that thin crust cut into squares version that everyone just kind of scarfed down with a couple of beers or sodas or something like that.
So were your boys of age enough that when you lived in the Chicago area, or does that predate them being aware?
No. My kids were in Chicago until almost the start of middle school.
So, do they have a preference, having been exposed, grown up with Chicago style pizza, deep dish and thin, and then the traditional New York that you now get in the hinterlands of Florida? Do they have, as teenagers, do they have pizza preferences?
Their pizza preferences mostly go towards the toppings on it. They will run far away from mom's pizza that has too many vegetables on it, because they have been corrupted by their father wanting to have meat, more meat, and meat on top of meat. So if they could have just copious amounts of cheese and sausage and pepperoni, and you could put bacon, ground beef, they don't care. But a small amount of bread and lots of meat and cheese, I think they would be happy, and no vegetables in sight.
So they don't care the style as long as it's meat gluttony.
Well, they would prefer a good crust over, you know, something with no flavor or something that tastes like cardboard. But I don't think they are necessarily to the point where they're going to be a pizza snob and say, oh, I can't have this option because, you know, it's not my favorite. They do know the difference between a good pizza and a bad pizza. That's for sure.
See, and it's funny, I have a almost 30-year-old son whose taste in pizza runs very heavily towards any that are baked on a conveyor belt, which you probably know what I'm referring to, one of Pizza Hut's competitors or several of Pizza Hut's competitors. If he assigned Michelin stars for pizza, it would be simply to change whose cars you see driving up and down your street with a lit sign on the roof.
I will say that my boys would rather, their tastes probably go a little more towards the mom and pop pizza location versus a pizza chain. But you know,
then again, they eat crickets, as we learned in last week's episode. Well,
that is very true. I mean, they have an interesting food choice when it comes to them. When you look at some of the things that they like versus don't like, and my children are not the typical teenagers. Trust me, they will never turn down food because they're always hungry. But over the past weekend, when we were at a restaurant, the younger child really wanted the boar ragu pasta over just the plain piece of fried chicken. So, you know, that's that kid. And they ate duck wings too. They were very happy with their duck wings.
As promised, it's time for part two of our interview with Jeff Morrow. Jeff and I talk about his hometown Chicago pizza, how it compares to New York pizza in his mind, his thoughts on pizza in general. We also learn about his new company, Morrow Provisions. Sing the praises of the two or three different styles of Chicago pizza versus what people get elsewhere, whether it's New York style, New Haven style, St. Louis style.
I just, you be as a Chicagoan, I want to hear you hop on the soapbox.
Listen, I will never turn down pizza in any form, Brad, whether it's gas station pizza, microwave pizza with the little silver cardboard microwave sleeve.
Yep.
You know, the fanciest, coal fire oven pizza to, you know, neighborhood deep dish. Listen, we love our, this is the difference between pizza in Chicago and elsewhere. And I'm just going to, the umbrella of elsewhere is mostly East Coast, sometimes West Coast. Mm-hmm. That's usually has the most words, East versus Chicago, right?
Yep. Yes, Brad.
So, and I'm constantly in arguments about this, or discussions, we should say. Plenty to argue about this in this day and age. Pizza should not be one of them. It should be a discussion always, right? Because it's absolutely a beautiful thing no matter what. Growing up, pizza was the event. It was the meal. It wasn't a slice to get you from point A to point B and fill your tummy quickly. It was never reheated. It was always served in one whole pizza form, either in the pizza joint or delivered to your house. We did not grow up in a culture of slices. There's nowhere, like, I can, maybe on one hand, I can count how many slices of pizza. First of all, one slice of, like, who's that? Like, I'm like, how do you carry around four slices of giant pizza? You know, that's pretty much a whole pizza. So, A, one slice of pizza was never sufficient. So you start with that, right? And the familial, communal nature of eating this one to three pizzas around the dinner table, fighting over that. Number two, it's how the pizza is cut. I do prefer the party cut, the square cut, right? Where you have the dynamics of all these different kinds of slices on each pizza. Yep. If you're not familiar about it out there, instead of cutting into triangles, Chicago, our thin crust is cut into squares. So you have the tiny corner pieces, four of them per pizza that you just pop in your mouth like a chip. You have the edges, right, that have this crunch to them from the crust, crisp, but like still got a little bit of chew on the interior. And then you got these gooey middle ones that, depending on the, you know, robustness of the, you know, the crust, they could be a little foldable, but just gooey and just unbelievable chew on those. So you get that, and there's something for everybody. So that's how serious we take it. Now, New York, what I don't understand is I've had so many great slices of pizza and pizzas in New York, from all the square cut stuff to Prince Street to DeFara. I've had it all. I've, yep. I traveled to New York almost every week for 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm not ignorant to the fact that it's great pizza. I just like to eat my pizza sitting down with a pitcher of beer and having options. Now, when you talk about deep dish pizza, that's something we relish and cherish. But most of us don't eat it that much. It's like a special occasion. It's like birthday pizza, you know, at least in my house, or it's so-and-so's graduation. We're going to Lou Malnati's and we're going to have a couple pizzas, you know, and get a thin crust for the kids. And that, to me, is there's so many different styles of deep dish, right? You got the stuffed Giordano's style that has an extra layer of dough over the cheese,
which I love.
Oh my God, with that biscuity crust, you got the flaky layers. It's like you eat it and you almost die each time you try to swallow. There's so much cheese, which I have choked. If you listen to the episode of the Come On Over podcast of How Do We Not Die, where all the Morrows have almost died so many times that we couldn't even fit it into one episode, we tell the story about my sister right out of the hospital, like we're feeding her, you know, cheese pizza, stuffed pizza, and she almost died. The ambulance came. We had to bring her to the, it's crazy. She really did. It's funny. But right, like, but when I say you almost die, I've been there. I've seen the life go out of my sister's eyes from too much cheese, but right. It's so gratifying, but we don't eat that on Friday nights. On Friday nights, you order from the neighborhood, you know, that tavern style square cut pie with, you know, crackery thin crust, beautiful grande mozzarella from Wisconsin, chunks of house-made sausage, pepperoni, yep, and a salad. That's how we eat our pizza. And God damn it, if it's not the best in the country, you haven't been to Chicago and had pizza with the Morrow family.
All right. I know what I'm having,
Brad,
for dinner.
They're coming. They're knocking on my door already. Sonny's at my door right now with the pitchfork. I know she is. We cannot stop arguing about this. And I love Sonny, and she always, you know, farts on Chicago pizza, But man, this is how I stopped the discussion, not the argument, Brad.
Yeah,
this is how the discussion ends when I say I have had New York pizza 400 times from 300 different places. I mean, you might have had one or two pieces of Chicago pizza, you know. So I grew up. You know, I'm pretty knowledgeable on the subject. That's what I'm saying, Brad.
Which is why, and it's funny because part of my childhood was spent in suburban Detroit.
Okay, and very tough. So you got to, oh my God, the best.
Buddy's Pizza, Detroit style pizza, which is now being emulated by places in New York, here in Atlanta. And so suddenly people are becoming aware of Detroit pizza. Obviously, everybody talks about, oh, I grew up in New York. I know what a New York slice is. But I love Chicago deep dish. I love Chicago thin. And just you describing your family dinners with the salad and the thin crust, you've just determined my dinner for tonight. So thank you.
I know. My wife's making red lentils.
Ooh.
You know what? This is the thing. Since I threw out my back, you mentioned it up top. I did throw it out last Saturday. And it's been, this has never happened to me. I've never spent this long, like not working out hard at least 4 to 5 days a week. I've been walking and stuff. But so like my diet is very locked in right now. And all I want to do is eat pizza, but I will drink beer tonight with my lentils.
There you go.
That's halfway there. But I love the Detroit style.
Moral Provisions, was it something that you set out to do pre-pandemic or because of the change of everybody's lifestyles from a dining standpoint during the pandemic? Or did the pandemic help accelerate an idea that you've had germinating in your mind?
Number three, I'm going with Brad. I've been involved in brands before, we'll say, in ventures.
Yep.
That did not work and crashed into the mountain, if you will, that I had very little control over, that I had partners that were very, not the best of partners. And I never, brands I represented hard, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Blood, sweat, and tears for zero money that I never felt comfortable. So my goal pre-pandemic after my last venture failed was like, whatever I do next, I'm going to do it myself and I'm going to make sure it's something I love that I can't wait to sell. And I don't want to, I'm not signing like sell, like QVC sell, which I would love to go on and sell my product on QVC. But it was like, I want to provide it to the masses, something I'm super proud of that people can't get. So it really like, you know, the first point was I want to sell this meat that I grew up eating, that I grew up going to this meat packer. It wasn't even a butcher shop. It was a meat factory, Brad, that was down the street from the house I grew up on, and the butchers in there lived on the same block as my grandma and my mom growing up and her dad the same and with my grandpa. And I was like, why can't I go to the coasts, the East Coast, the West Coast, all over and not get the same Italian sausage that I grew up eating? Like, it's never as good. I'm like, this stuff is, it's not like cheap. I mean, it's very affordable compared to like going to Whole Foods and buying Italian sausage there. It's a quarter of the price and it's so much better. I'm like, why? So it started with this and me ordering meat during the pandemic. So the pandemic was the catalyst as far as I needed meat. They were running low on meat at the Whole Foods and at the butcher shop down the street. So I call my guy. I'm like, let me call Vic up. Hey, can you guys send over a box of this? Boom, boom. And I'm like, oh my God, this makes sense. He's like, you know, I'm doing a lot of this mail order, direct to consumer butcher boxes. Let's talk about it. And that was really the germination of it. And we launched from there. And then we had ideas. And I'm like, well, if I can ship meat, I could ship jardinera. I can ship Italian beef and all this stuff. And it just grew from there. And literally it was just me and my ideas with my partner, Vic Bomprezzi, who's, you know, fourth generation meat packer, you know, no nonsense. I mean, meat guys, talk about, you know, I think shady partners in the restaurant business were rough. I mean, these guys, they're rough in a whole different, you know, they got like meat hooks for hands, right? Yep. And they work all day in a, refrigerated, if not freezer facility. So, you know, the no bullshit, so like grassroots. And that's what I love about it. And we've been growing steadily and doing well. And we launched the Jardinera in our prime Italian beef boxes and people love it. It's like, I put it out there and I'm nervous, right? But not not in the same way I was nervous about like people coming into my restaurants and having a bad experience, which happened a lot. And then you get bad Yelp reviews and you get this and it keeps you up at night for years.
Right.
This is like, it's unanimously great because we started small and we're still small. And every co-packer I have, every partner, everything's family-based from the family that makes our hot jardinera is fourth generation, the Formellas, to the box company, it's the third generation, to the guy making my hats and t-shirts, it's the fourth generation, all three to fourth generation Chicago families. And I believe that's the key to success. It might be slow growing. You know, I'm not like in Walmart and we're not even trying to do that. I'm just trying to provide something, you know, unique and delicious to everybody.
I love the packaging on your jardinera.
Thank you.
There's something really clean and contemporary and sharp about it, and it stands out. And I just a little aside from some schlub sitting in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Where are you from? Because you probably can't get it in your main grocery stores and stuff, can you?
No.
Okay. So I hear it's ubiquitous. There's shelves of it, you know? So I wanted to stick out on the shelves. And we're only in like a couple, they're like in one mom and pop place, Gina Giorgetti's, which is like a famous steakhouse. Yep, we're like commissary, and we're at Caputo Cheese Market that sells like cheese. So but I wanted it to stick out in the shelf, not only, but also like I wanted someone to open a package with three of these and have like a beautiful color palette represented that's representative of the colors in the jardinera, which is the most, up against any jardinera on the planet, it is by far, I wanted to call it Rainbow Jardinera because it's so, and then people would get confused about it. Is it sweet? Is it the can? So I'm like, screw it. Let's just call it. It's let's keep to the original, but it's so colorful with all the vegetables in four different kinds of peppers, each its own color. And I wanted the label just to be strong. And I wanted my name represented, you know, nothing gimmicky, nothing. And I'll tell you about the icons. If you look at all our packaging, from the beef to all the steaks to the jardinera and a couple other things we have coming out, each of those icon in those kind of crosshair things are each different. Right. And that was my idea, which was inspired by a binge session of Ozark at the beginning of the pandemic, where if you watch Ozark, they have a different icon in that X kind of thing, representative of just plot lines that happened throughout the episode.
Interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And my best friend in the world, who's a graphic artist, designed every single label we have. Oh. So I didn't go. I know. I keep trying to pay him too, Brad. But he went to, and then I'm like, so let me take you on a trip. But now we can't go anywhere. So it's like, you know how it is. But eventually our sons are best friends. Our wives are best friends. And we're best friends. So like it's our, and he happens to be, oh, he'll collect in it one day. I'm going to force him on a, like, you know, blind, put a bag over his head, throw him in a windowless van and take him to O'Hare.
The Italian beef package bundle that you actually sold out of before the holidays. So you're clearly getting legs on this.
Yeah. It's listen, we shouldn't have sold out, but that's the nature of how we're doing business right now. You know, it's a very small operation. Like these guys can cut 100,000 pounds of meat a day, package it, send it throughout the world, but we're adding different elements like recipe cards and personal flares and touches and letters and different packaging and all this stuff, you know? So it's, you know, I changed up their process a little bit, but you know, with the familial element of it, there is, you know, it's not a huge operation. So when things run out, it's like, you got to make another batch and that takes a week. So it's good. It's, you know, I want to just sell as much as I can, but I think ultimately if we keep it small like that and run out of our batches, it's just going to make the product that much better. And I'm telling you, I've been eating Italian beef my whole life. I mean, the jardinera is obviously the best jardinera I've ever had. We go through at least a jar a week. That is not an exaggeration,
right?
But the beef is, it's so damn good because every time, you know, you got like beef stand beef where you go to the famous beef stands around Chicago and you have these beautiful experiences. And then every beef you bring home, whether it's like from a Portillo's or even Johnny's, it's never the same experience, right? You either buy crappy bread and then you put the good beef in it, or you have the right bread that you somehow manage to find. And then you let your beef, you know, your mom or your aunt boils the beef in the juice and then it turns into shoe leather. So it's like, how do you, like, if you order my beef, the instructions, they look wordy, but it's the simplest thing to prepare, but I'm just very anal about it because I want everybody to have this pleasurable experience because it is by far the best Italian beef I've ever had. It melts in your mouth. It's so good. And you get the right bread in the right giardiniera with it. So people are really responding well to that because a lot of people, Arizona, Florida, a lot of transplants that can't get it over there properly have right. been being able to replicate it to a T at home.
Being a Chicago boy, you obviously know Ernie Banks was Mr. Baseball. Jeffrey is now Mr. QVC. Can he hook a guy up?
He is Mr. QVC. I mean, the guy, I think he did 3 hours on QVC from his shower the other night. I think he's selling loofahs now.
He's turned into Ron Popeil.
He's amazing. I mean, I'll tell you what, just to, before I answer your question directly, Jeffrey Zakarian is the hardest working human I've ever met in my life. But whatever success, whatever beautiful hoodie he wears, whatever cashmere, he deserves every ounce of it. And he loves his family above and beyond everything. And that is a fact. And he's the greatest mentor I could ever hope for. He's great. That's anytime awesome. I call him, he'll pick up the phone and he'll give me advice.
No, I wasn't making fun of him.
No, I know, but I'm just like saying that, you know, because people's like, I just want the money. No, he works his ass off. And listen, we have had conversations about QVC, but you know, like the volume they do is insane, right? Like he sells way more product in like a day than we do in a week. So I don't want to over exert the facilities we use right now.
That makes sense.
Ship stuff out or my team. I'm thinking big in a different way, not ultimately. You know, I do want to grow to the, we're building a brand new, now again, where our fulfillment center is, if you call it that, our, you know, our meatpacking facility is the same location it's been forever, couple blocks away from the house I grew up with till I was 11, you know, a couple blocks from my mom grew up. We're building across the street a brand new fulfillment center, right? A facility with a show kitchen in there, a test kitchen, actual offices, things like of this that I'm so excited about, you know, and that like once that opens, we can really explode this, you know, operation. But if Jeffrey tomorrow's like, hey man, I got you a spot on QVC, I don't know. It'd be a hard decision. I'm not going to lie. Might have to be a pass, you know, that's the responsible thing to do.
Responsible so you don't become stretched thin.
Exactly. And then the product suffers. And right now it's so good that I know there's a way to replicate it in the millions. Yep. We're just not there yet. Not a chance.
So Christine and I may share Jeff Morrow's love of Chicago style pizza. However, when Jon Stewart was still hosting The Daily Show, he had a different take on Chicago pizza.
So let me explain something. Deep dish pizza is not only not better than New York pizza. It's not pizza. It's a casserole. I'm surprised you haven't thought to complete your deep dish pizza by putting some canned onion rings on top of it. It's a cornbread biscuit which you've melted cheese on, and then, in defiance of God and man and all things holy, you poured uncooked marinara sauce atop the cheese. Atop. This is not pizza. This is tomato soup in a bread bowl. Let me tell you something about your not pizza. I want to know when I get drunk and pass out on my pizza that I'm not going to drown. When I look at your deep dish pizza, I don't know whether to eat it or throw a coin in it and make a wish. And if I made a wish, it would be that I wish for some real pizza. Now.
I love New York pizza too, John, but Chicago deep dish still rocks. As a matter of fact, I invite you onto this podcast anytime you want so we can discuss the merits of New York pizza versus Chicago deep dish. And that's going to do it for episode 3 of Excuse Me, May I Have Some More? The Foodcast with an Insatiable Appetite. My name is Brad Kramer. On behalf of my co-host, Christine Struble, we can't thank you enough for joining us and look forward to having you again next time. Take care.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.